Welcome to The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, the presidential race comes to Southern California.
How does a millennial mayor, openly gay man, win the presidency?
He's an unlikely and historic candidate getting a whole lot of buzz. We go one-on-one with South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Plus,
the world is on fire. And when the world is on fire, you've got to sweep away some of these old senatorial privileges.
Washington Governor Jay Inslee staking his whole candidacy on one issue. Is climate change a winning strategy? He's joining what could be the most crowded field ever, some left of center, some far left. Did someone say the S word? And speaking of different views, check out our panel. Conservative political commentator Tommy Lauren of Fox Nation, progressive radio talk show host Stephanie Miller, also this week.
We don't rape someone that's raped. Why do we kill someone that's killed?
Governor Gavin Newsom halts California's death penalty. Is he ignoring the will of the voters? The Issue Is starts right now. And thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex Michelson. California has never been more important to the presidential race. And a year out from voting, the candidates are already stumping here. Pretty much all of the Democratic players are now in place, with one potential major exception. And three of the candidates made a big splash here this week.
Amy and I are happy to share with you that I'm running to serve you as the next president of the United States of America.
Former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke makes his official presidential announcement. It's only a matter of time before he makes his way to California. Next week, Senator Bernie Sanders will be here. This week, Mayor Pete Buttigieg came to West Hollywood.
Mayor Pete is the first openly gay Democratic candidate for president of the United States.
So there's so many candidates. Why you?
Well, I'm not like the others.
That's certainly true. First off, he's 37. Yes, 37. And will be the first millennial president, in addition to being the first openly gay president. In this packed bar, he's asked, how'd he deal with bullying from President Trump?
From Indiana, I'm gay. I can handle bullies.
Buttigieg started serving in the military in the era of don't ask, don't tell.
I don't like admitting this, but there was a time in my life when I would have given anything to not be gay. If you had given me a pill, I would have taken it.
He credits his husband for helping him come out of the closet and run for mayor as an openly gay man.
Turned out, in Mike Pence's Indiana, I got reelected with 80% of the vote.
Mayor Pete says the current generation of politicians don't focus enough on the next generation.
How does a millennial mayor, openly gay man, win the presidency?
Well, the path is narrow, but I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't see a path. And what we found is when we get in front of people, they respond.
Well, I'm running for president to try to defeat climate change, so I hope you might help me, maybe.
Washington Governor Jay Inslee tours the Seminole Springs Mobile Home Park in Agoura. During the Woolsey Fire, more than 100 of the homes here burned. Inslee says he's seen similar damage across the western U.S.
Of all the candidates, why you?
We need to make defeating climate change the number one priority of the United States. And there is only one candidate saying they will do that, and I am that candidate.
People for years have said, you know, it's the economy, stupid, and climate change has not been something that has polled that important
right.
to voters.
Right.
You're staking your whole campaign on climate change. Some political experts might say that doesn't make sense. What do you say?
Americans now are seeing the face of climate change with their own eyes. They know we are the first generation to feel the sting of climate change. We're the last generation who can do something about it.
So you can hear our full interviews with Mayor Pete and Governor Inslee in the form of a special podcast. You can stream all of our shows in podcast form. Just search for The Issue Is wherever you stream. Here to talk about 2020 race a whole lot more, we got a pretty dynamic panel. Check them out. We're excited to have them here. Tommy Lauren, one of the most prominent, influential, and followed conservative voices in the country. Every day, she offers commentaries on the Fox News streaming service, Fox Nation. Most recently, she set the internet on fire with her professed love of pickle juice. That's Stephanie Miller, one of the most prominent progressive voices in the country. She's an author, activist, comedian, host of the syndicated radio show that bears her name. As LA Weekly puts it, she keeps busy rallying millions against President Trump from her Los Feliz basement.
welcome to both of you guys. Thanks so much for being here. We're excited to have you. So let's begin with the 2020 race. Ben O'Rourke making the most news this week. He's on the cover of Vanity Fair in this Annie Leibovitz shot. Also making this announcement that President Trump mocked sort of the use of his hands as he was doing it. So what do you make of Beto?
What I make of Beto? Well, I don't know who Beto is. I know who Robert O'Rourke is. Again, I think that the Democrats are going to be very excited about him because he is charismatic and he's able to ride it on a skateboard, and the millennials are going to love that. Honestly, I don't think he's going to do well in a national election. I think he'll probably do very well in the primaries. I think he's got a great shot. At the end of the day, am I concerned that he can beat Donald Trump? Absolutely not.
And what do you think?
I see a young Bobby Kennedy when I see him out there. And by the way, touche on Robert. Oof, he is going to be crying all night. I think Beto is exciting. He's young. And I agree with Elizabeth Warren. I'm not entirely sure that Trump is going to be a free person in order to run. And let's have us back if I'm right. I think he's going to be forced to step down. I don't think it's going to be Trump in 2020. I really don't.
After all this time, they still think they have something on Donald Trump. We've been 2 years in an investigation with not one shred of evidence linking Donald Trump to Russian collusion. But yet here
Except
we are.
All the people in jail.
Here we are. That's not President Trump.
Oh, you just wait for it.
Okay, we've been waiting for quite a while, so I'm excited about this.
How do you think about the giant golf check that we saw on television of him paying off the porn actress, which is a federal crime?
Again, if the Democrats would get over the Stormy Daniels of it all and focus on actual evidence, I mean, talking about a porn star is not evidence of Russian collusion, but we can keep going back to that.
Oh, that's a separate
crime.
That's
all you have.
That's a separate crime.
That's all you have.
But Bill Clinton was impeached for lying about his relationship with someone, right?
He hasn't lied about his relationship, but again, that this continual effort to go back to the Mueller. Let's see the Mueller investigation. Let's see it.
Okay.
Let's see if you guys have something.
I'm so glad
it's been
I brought
years.
Vodka.
Oh okay. My God, moving on.
Let's go back on topic. Who is the strongest of the Democratic candidates? Are there any of them that you think are stronger? Who are you most concerned about?
I'm not really concerned about anyone, to be real honest with you, but I do think the front runners are going to be Kamala and Robert O'Rourke. I think that those will be the front runners.
Over Biden.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think Biden's going to excite anybody. I think that this wave of identity politics is going to bring in their Democratic savior. And at the end of the day, the American people don't care about identity politics. They rejected it in 2016. They're going to reject it again in 2020. And that's going to be where we are.
President Trump this week is saying that he's going to veto what happened in Congress.
This
emergency declaration, President Trump has now vetoed it. What do you make of that? And what do you make of Republicans in Congress saying no to the president?
I think you'll actually like this. Maybe we can agree on something. I am more disappointed on the 12 Republicans who went against the emergency declaration and border security enforcement. I am more disgusted with them than I really am any of the Democrats, because at least I know where they stand. So I've talked about that quite frequently. I'm tired of the Rhino Circus. I think that they are never Trumpers, and they became kind of Trumpers when it was convenient and when they could ride on his coattails into office. And now they're once again never Trumpers. They're jealous of this president, and they like cheap labor coming across the border. So I'm very disgusted with a lot of the Republicans. However, I'm very proud of the president that I voted for, and he's going to make sure that we have a secure border. And I'm very confident he's going to do that.
So you'll be okay when President Kamala Harris declares a state of emergency over things that are an emergency, like
they're
gun
going
violence,
to do it anyway.
Like opioids, like
they're
climate,
going to do
like
it
climate
anyway.
Change.
They're
Good.
Going to do
well,
it anyway.
Thank you for helping us.
They're going to do it anyway, so I say we need to secure the border. And again, I would ask you, because you don't think it's an emergency, have you been
border
to the border?
Crossings are at all time
Have you
low.
Been to
yes.
the border? You've been to the border with yes. our Border Patrol agents, and you've yes. seen the emergency, because I've seen it firsthand, because I've spent many days
well,
with them in multiple locations. Well, I think
Why are border crossings at an all time low. This is not an emergency. Why wasn't an emergency for 2 years when you guys controlled everything?
I agree with you on that.
Okay.
It was an emergency.
Okay.
I've said, and I've been able to say many times about the rhinos.
That's
I've
right.
been able to say that. I wish we would have done it 2 years ago, but I've been to the border several times with our agents, who I believe are more expert on this issue than you or I, and they say it's an emergency, it's a problem. When you have 10 to 20 million
everything
illegals in this country,
about,
that if you are
Tommy,
a repeat offender.
I feel so close to you already. There is not going to be a stupid racist wall. There is just not going to be.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but in San Diego, we have not one, but two walls, fencing, and we're going to continue to build more.
Right. Yes. What happened to Mexico paying for that? How's that going?
Well, I mean, I would have been great if Mexico would have paid for it, but at the end of the day...
But he promised us that.
Well, at the end of the day, yeah, there's a lot of promises that we can talk about.
Don't you hate when men break their promises to you?
What I'm telling you is there is a wall in place. There's more wall being built.
To make this a man issue. Let's talk for a moment. Another big issue this week was this shooting that happened in New Zealand. I know you have some thoughts on that.
You have a shooter in New Zealand who name-checked Donald Trump by name as one of his inspirations, in addition to right-wing extremism and white supremacy here in the United States. If you're proud as an American that we are now exporting hate and our gun fetish.
Is it fair, though, to blame President Trump? I mean, he's not specifically calling for violence. He's not asking for shootings or anything like that.
He just did yesterday, saying the military and the cops and my biker friends are going to get rough if, you know, the left goes too far with investigations or whatever. But read exactly what he said. He just threatened violence against half.
That's the biggest leap of the year right there.
How do you feel about the shooter in New Zealand?
I think it's horrific.
Naming Donald Trump by name.
I think it's horrific.
As an inspiration.
That doesn't make it Donald Trump's fault. Somebody with mental issues, somebody who's mentally unstable, if they're inspired by someone, they could be inspired by you.
Statistics.
And they could go out and do something disgusting. Would I blame you for it? Absolutely not, because that would be misplaced anger to blame Donald Trump.
He is inciting hatred and violence.
No, he's not inciting hate.
All right, well, we're going to have to leave it there. Up next, something else that's controversial that'll probably get you fired up. Governor Newsom ending the death penalty in California. Not everyone happy with that. The issue is debate when we come back.
This is about who I am as a human being. This is about what I can or cannot do. To me, this is the right thing to do.
Governor Gavin Newsom halts all executions carried out by the state while he's governor, even though a few years ago, voters actually chose to expand the death penalty in California. Back with our panel, Fox Nation host Tommy Lauren, Stephanie Miller, host of The Stephanie Miller Show. What do you guys think?
You want me to take this one
first? Yeah, you go, babe.
Well, our beloved governor, Greasy Newsom, I know he's going against
That's
the will
a hair
of the voters.
Joke. Okay.
Yeah, among many other things. He's greasy in a lot of ways. But to go against the voters, not only did we reject a repeal of the death penalty, we also voted to fast-track execution. So the fact that this governor, who thinks he speaks for Californians and he represents the hearts and minds, he's really overstepping his bounds, something that, again, I would think you would be upset about since we just got done talking about how you believe Donald Trump is doing that. But again, going against the will of California voters and... I think it's par for the course for Gavin Newsom.
Well, Newsom was actually pressed on that point, and here's what he had to say on The View.
The will of the people also allows for the governor to reprieve, to allow for a moratorium. I am afforded, pursuant to the Constitution, the ability to make this determination, to make this decision. Look, I don't do this lightly. I don't do it flippantly.
Justice, you know, it's not black or white in this country. It's green. If you have money, and that's what he's saying, the death penalty is not... administered evenly, even if you believe in it.
So, Stephanie, if you're one of the
and
people
how do you
who's,
be pro-life and be pro... I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
If you're one of the people, though, whose family member was killed or raped or murdered in these situations and you were expecting that...
It's not proven to be a deterrent, Alex. You know that. It is not proven to be a deterrent.
What would you say to the family members who have been waiting and waiting and waiting
many
for justice?
They're like anyone else. Many family members are not for the death penalty.
How do you talk about California voters and what we want. We've already showed what we want.
Do you really think justice is administered evenly in the United States?
But stepping to the point that Tommy brings up, though, the point that California voters a few years ago literally said the opposite of what Governor Newsom did. What do you make of the fact that he's doing that?
They also voted overwhelmingly for him and for Democrats. There's not one Republican, even in Orange County in California now. And, you know, as he said, he doesn't do this lightly. He wants to make his case to the people of California. And the fact is, it is not administered fairly. I mean, they're biased not just against people of color, people with mental illness. I mean, it is an issue that I really...
Criminal
besides
justice,
the fact that it does not serve as any kind of deterrent.
Criminal justice reform in the state of California has been nothing short of a disaster. If you look at our streets and you look at the issues we have in the streets, and if you just look at the glowing city of San Francisco, you can see that. You can see people who should be in jail who are wandering the streets with needles in their arms, and it's a problem. So the fact that now, beyond raising our taxes, beyond coddling illegal immigrants, now Gavin Newsom wants to coddle the criminals too. This is the year of the taxes and the year of the criminal. Welcome to Gavin's California.
So you say that the death penalty is fair in this state?
I think that the California voters decided as such.
You don't care if it's fair, is what you're saying.
It doesn't matter.
You're not going to address what he said. You don't care if it's fair.
Those 737 people that are condemned to death row, that, by the way, have had appeal after appeal after appeal after appeal, that is the justice system. And also, within that realm, is what the voters voted for. The voters also voted for Gavin Newsom. I'm not sitting there with a sign in the middle of the street saying, oh, I didn't vote for Gavin Newsom, so let's go ahead and change that. No. The vote is the vote, and Donald Trump is your president.
Okay.
No, well, he was not legitimately elected, but okay.
That's a whole
we'll get to that.
That's
on the
another
next.
Excuse. Okay. Up next, Aunt Becky seems so wholesome on Full House, right? When you heard this music? But she's caught up in the worst college admission scandals in U.S. history. What are the big takeaways from all of this? We'll have that when we come back. Well, this is the USC fight song, but it's yet another ugly week for the University of Southern California. Lori Loughlin's daughters won't be returning to campus after their parents were caught up in the largest college admissions scandal in U.S. history. 50 people arrested so far in 6 states, and it's only expected to expand. Back with our panel, Stephanie Miller from The Stephanie Miller Show and host of Fox Nation, Tommy Lauren. You were saying earlier that this is not really necessarily a left-right issue.
Yeah,
What are your big takeaways from this?
Fight on for USC.
Fight on for USC. Fight on for USC. They need to have some more fight because there's a whole lot of...
I was just saying my point is about income inequality, that like we're all going to pretend we don't know the college system is rigged toward the rich. I mean, Donald Trump went way out of his way to have Michael Cohen threaten all of his.
When you said this wasn't going to be a left versus right issue, no, I think you underestimated her ability
Donald
to
Trump,
make it an anti-Donald Trump issue
Donald
once
Trump
again.
Donald Trump Jr. was the first one to pipe up about Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman. And we all know that Donald Trump gave huge contributions right before he and Ivanka went to Penn. We know that Jared Kushner's father gave $2.5 million to Harvard right
and
before Jared
Donald
got
Trump.
In.
Donald
we
Trump's
know that
the
Fred
only one,
Trump
guys.
Gave money and that Fordham confirmed that they were threatened not to release his grades. Give me a break. That this is only rich
I love
Hollywood
how this
celebrities.
Is, now this is Donald Trump's fault. Oh, Lori Loughlin.
I said, where is Donald Trump Jr.'s grounds to start criticizing?
Let's talk about the issue and sort of the broader issue here.
Well, again, I think this is the issue of the people who did it. I don't think that this is a symptom of a larger issue of income inequality in the United States brought on by Donald Trump and the Republicans.
But
however,
isn't it an issue, though, about maybe too much money in colleges and potential
absolutely.
The corrupting force of that much
absolutely.
Money at higher education?
No, that's absolutely an issue. But I think also when we look at this and we look at the people that are involved in this, we've also got two actresses. And again, Hollywood has been through its fair share of issues in the last 5 years, but people still continue to give them passes. And to me, this is more of the elitist culture that they live in and they surround themselves with, that they don't think they have to be accountable for anything.
For those of us that worked hard and got into college on our own, but listen, I don't want to hear conservatives scream anymore about affirmative action and some brown kid took my kid's place. More rich kids took your kid's place, whether it's a Trump or a rich Hollywood celebrity involved in this thing. That's not fair to the kids whose spot you took that deserved it.
Yeah, all right. Well, before we go to break, ladies, Beyonce once said it best. Who runs the world?
Girls.
Girls, right?
Yeah.
But we want to salute a man who made a big difference for women. Birch Bayh was a Democratic senator from Indiana for 18 years. He authored the so-called Title IX legislation that continues to break down barriers that allowed women to participate in high school and college athletics on an equal basis. He also tried to pass the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution to expand women's rights. He successfully passed the constitutional amendment that lowers the voting age to 18 and the 25th Amendment on the presidential line of succession. Rest in peace. Quite a legacy there. Up next, we may have found some places. We may have found some places where Tommy and Stephanie can agree. Maybe. We're going to have some fun when we come back. All right, we're going to play one of our new games here. This is, we're going to find some ways that Tommy and Stephanie can agree.
Good luck.
Okay? So this is called either or.
We're all counting on you.
You pick either or. So we start with either or, skiing or surfing?
Surfing.
Whichever one Tommy's not doing. If she's skiing, I'm surfing. If she's surfing, I'm skiing.
It's fine with me.
Cat or dog?
Obviously dogs. You're a cat person, aren't you?
No, I'm a dog person. Oh, I'm an animal person.
Oh,
though,
my
so.
God.
There we go.
There we go.
All right,
okay.
We found one.
All right.
Rams or Chargers?
Can I say Cowboys? I mean...
You just did.
Rams. Listen, the minute I found out we have a team here, I am for
You're
it.
In.
I didn't realize we had one, but yay, Rams. Go.
Massage or facial?
Massage.
Massage.
There we go. In-N-Out or Shake Shack?
In-N-Out.
Shake Shack.
She just had to say it because I said In-N-Out. Yeah. But exactly. That's fine.
No,
and
it's better.
And finally, because
you're wrong.
Because it was 3.14 this week, cake or pie?
Neither, if you have to sit next to someone 30 years younger than you.
I'm going to go cake.
Okay. Well, before we go, it's St. Patrick's Day this week, and I'm a big sweets person. I don't know if you guys are, but we do have some special St. Patrick's Day cookies, courtesy of my mom.
Right.
So we're just handing these out.
Here, I tell you.
Did you
say
your mommy made cookies for you?
Yes, she did. So,
that is so good.
So happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. Have a great weekend, and at least we can agree that we like green beer, right?
We like green beer and your mom.
Yeah,
yeah,
we like
there
my
we go, mom.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for watching The Issue.